You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, and we are about to talk some baseball. We're about a month and a half into the Major League Baseball season. It's really one of those first times of the year where you can look at the overall landscape of baseball, Scott, and make evaluations on teams that are in trouble, teams that are doing well, teams that should watch out for teams below them. It's really the first evaluation process because you've got hitters that now have 100 to 125 at-bats, pitchers who have anywhere between 7 and 11 starts, things of that nature. And so you can really see who's performing well, who's slumping, and things of that nature. And so when we talk baseball, we really wanted to give you a more broad landscape of how the baseball season has gone and who we think is doing well this year. But I do want to start with the Detroit Tigers. And we will get to Justin Verlander. We will talk about him and his chance at two no-hitters in a row. We'll get to all that. But the Tigers in general, are you really that unhappy with this start? They go 21-18. They've played the Yankees twice, Rangers, had a West Coast swing, and they're only four games back from the Indians, who are now starting to struggle. And when I look at the Indians compared to the Tigers have more horses for a down-the-stretch race than the Cleveland Indians do. I look at the Tigers' starting rotation, and they've got the best 1-2-3 rotation in the AL Central, hands down. In fact, they've got one of the best 1-2-3 rotations in all of the AL. Now, I think you can make arguments for Boston with Beckett, Lester, and Buchholz. I think the Angels have a case with Weaver, Heron, and Chatwood. The A's with Cahill, Gonzalez, and Anderson. And then I think the Rays with Shields, Hellickson, and Price all have arguments of having better 1-2-3 rotations than the Tigers. But as far as the AL Central is concerned, which is all that should matter to the Detroit Tigers as far as getting into the playoffs goes, they have the best 1-2-3 rotation. Because the Indians with Masterson, Tomlin, and Carmona, I don't think there's a lot of stability in that 1-2-3. I think that although Porcello has shown in the past that he may not be a 3-6-7 type guy, I know what I'm getting out of Verlander and Scherzer. And I think, as I predicted this year, I think Porcello is going to end up with an ERA in the mid-threes this year. I do. I think he's going to have a bounce-back season. And despite his poor start to this year, he's looked good over his last four or five starts. And so when you look at that, the rotation, which is the most important thing in the AL Central race right now, I think the Tigers have the best one. Now, hitting is a worry, Scott. And you've written blogs about this. The leadoff hitter is an issue. Can Austin Jackson get things going? And he has to a certain extent as of late. But Maglio Ordonez isn't hitting. Brennan Bosch is starting to go into his usual May or June little lull where he's going to start hitting in the 200s. Rayburn is awful in all facets of the game, not to mention he's a terrible fielder, so it really is hard to justify playing Ryan Rayburn right now if he's hitting in the low 200s and he's a terrible fielder. So there are hitting issues. But with Victor Martinez and Cabrera hitting well in the middle of the lineup, they have enough to go with that they can make a run in the AL Central.
It's going to be interesting with Maglio going on the DL here just recently and seeing how long he's going to be out for. Because, I mean, let's face it, he needs to be out on the DL for a long time. He has five extra base hits all this year. And I believe two of those were in the same game. He had a home run and a double. And he has maybe, five RBIs?
Well, and the writing was on the wall with Mags last year. His power deteriorated. Home runs were turning into doubles. Singles were turning into outs. Things that were working for him in the past were starting to deteriorate last year, even though he hit in the 300s last year. So you saw it sort of coming. Now, was it worth it to bring him back? I think so, because his past season showed that he could still hit for average at least. But you can't be completely surprised that Maglio Ordonez is hitting the way he is.
The thing that I couldn't stand was he was still batting third throughout all of this. And I'm looking at his numbers right now, batting 172, four extra base hits, three doubles, a home run, five RBIs. That is awful.
If Jim Leland has a fault so far this year, and frankly, I think he's played it pretty well this year as a manager. There's not a lot you can do about it. If your bullpen, if you put the guys out there you want to and they just don't perform, a guy like Joaquin Benoit, you really can't do anything about it. If you pay the money to bring this guy in, you get it to him, and then he blows a lead. That's not really your fault. So for the most part, I think Leland has played it right. However, I think his loyalty to certain players is a hindrance on this team. And I think he needs to shake the idea that Mags is a three-hitter. I think he needs to shake the idea that Rayburn is a good fielder and a utility guy. Rayburn, unless he hits for power, is just not a very good player. That's the bottom line. That's what he's shown over the last couple of years. And I know people disagree. I know Tony Paul, who will talk to at 10:30, likes Ryan Rayburn to a certain extent from a powers number standard. But I don't like Ryan Rayburn. Every time I watch him in the outfield, he makes a mistake. Every single time. And so when you give guys like this opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, it is going to come back to bite you. But that being said, I think he's played the lineup pretty well this year. Leland is a guy that takes chances. And it paid off in 2006. He made some ridiculous calls that ended up paying off that people praised. And sometimes those ridiculous calls don't end up working. When you pinch hit with Marcus Thames in the bottom of the ninth sometimes, it's not going to work. Worked in 2006. It's not going to work every single time. And so I don't think people should really be shocked when he makes calls like that. However, it can be a hindrance from time to time. It works great sometimes, but sometimes it can be a hindrance.
He just doesn't. It's so strange for him because the other thing that I don't care for is how much he changes the lineup from day to day. He says, oh, well, these guys need rest. These guys need rest. These guys need rest. Always. It's hardly ever back-to-back days the same lineup, which is okay to an extent. But then he still has the habits of Jackson has to be a leadoff hitter.
Yep.
And to Austin Jackson's credit, he has been much better
the last
3 weeks.
He's been hitting well over the last 3 weeks or so.
But until then, he was still going through, well, they'll come out of it. And the reason why we're really doing this review now, it's like you said, it's almost a quarter of the way through the season. Everybody's gotten to around probably 150 at-bats or over 100 at-bats.
Between 100 and 150, depending on how much you're playing.
So you get a pretty good idea where it's becoming trends now. It's not necessarily a slump. You get a good idea for where the season's going because right now, if you have a bad, like for Mags, batting 170-something, you'd have to then have a really good 30-game stretch to bring that up.
It's the same reason we evaluate now because if you evaluate at the beginning or at the end of April, you start doing things like saying Albert Pujols is having a horrible year. When the truth is Albert Pujols is already up in the high 270s and he'll be up to 300 by the end of the month. Is the bottom line with a guy like that. So you wait on things like that. You wait for people to get out of their first slumps of the season or their first hot streaks of the season. Now, all that being said, as I look at the AL Central, Scott, and I want you to chime in on this, obviously, I think the Tigers are in a great situation. They're four games back in the Indians, who, despite poor hitting, are doing pretty well. When Sinsu Chu and Santana are struggling, both hitting in the 220s, and your only really good hitter at this point is Travis Hafner, that's a pretty good accomplishment. However, I look at their starting pitching, and like I said before, I don't see guys who can keep up this stable performance for the entire year. A guy like Tomlin, a guy like Masterson, they're not going to stay in the 2.7s for the entire year as far as ERA goes. They're going to get knocked around every once in a while, as Masterson did the other night. They're going to get knocked around. And so because I like the stability of the Tigers starting rotation compared to these other teams, I think they're in a great situation. Now, the White Sox, I think, are starting to snap out of it. They lost 19 of 23 games at one point. That's going to dig anybody into a hole. But they're starting to snap out of it. Jake Peavy is back and healthy. They're starting. Konerko and Quinton are hitting. If they can get some other guys hitting, they're in good shape. However, they've dug themselves in a really deep hole.
And their bullpen is terrible.
Their bullpen is awful. Their bullpen is awful. Outside of a couple of guys, they're pretty awful. And so, I just look at it. I don't think the Royals will be able to hold up the pace that they're at right now. They just don't have the starting rotation to do that. As good as Francoeur and Gordon and Butler and Cabrera have been, their hitting is not good enough to pick up the awful year that their starters are having. When Bruce Chen's your starter, that's an issue. That's an issue.
Yes, it is. The thing, I'd be excited if I was a Royals fan. They're going to be pretty fun to watch here coming up through the rest of the summer because they just brought up Hosmer.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, and it's a well-known fact, the top minor league
organization.
Yeah, the best farm system of anybody. It's not even close. I think they had, six out of the top 50 guys were in their organization coming into this year. Those guys are not all of them necessarily, but they're going to be brought up throughout this season. And that's going to be really fun to see. The thing with Cleveland that I'm interested in, if they do start to slide, if this 5-5 stretch that they're on in the last 10 kind of continues and they just barely slip out of the mix, which the thing, it's going to take a long time for them to slip out of the mix.
Yep.
Because normally you would have the Twins and the White Sox right around 500 also. But they've got one of the most consistent closers in the major leagues right now.
Yeah.
Chris Perez.
Perez is ripping it up. What's he got, 10 saves so far this year?
I'm not sure on his exact stats.
I'm pretty sure Perez has 10 saves this year already for a team that, he's got 10 saves so far this year. He's got an ERA in the twos. Not to mention their bullpen in general. Tony Sipp has been good. Vinny Pastano has been good. Rafael Perez has been good. They've had good pitchers out of their bullpen this year.
Well, what happens if they do start to slide? Because look at the Cleveland Indians of the past. There's a reason why Detroit has Victor Martinez now, and the Phillies have Cliff Lee and things like that.
You know who the Indians remind me of? Back in 2004, the Baltimore Orioles at this time were leading the AL East by 4 games. And a lot of people started to say, is this Orioles team actually this good? Because they had a lot of guys you hadn't really heard of. Well, obviously, the Red Sox and the Yankees caught them because they just didn't have the horses to go through on a 162-game season. One injury was going to knock them back. And I look at this Indians team. If Travis Hafner were to go on the DL, and he's done that in the past.
You mean when he does?
Yes. That's a huge issue for them because take him out of the lineup and they've got no threats in that lineup whatsoever until Chu gets going. No threats. And so really, they're one injury away from disappearing out of this race. Now, I think the Indians and the Royals have a good shot of going close to 500 baseball. I do. But I still think by the All-Star break, the White Sox will be within 5 games. The Tigers will be leading the division. And the Central will really start to carve its way out. Now, the team I do feel bad for is the Minnesota Twins. Because year after year after year, we talk about the Twins. And people say, well, they just find a way to get it done. And I got to be honest, this year, I don't see any way they get it done. Their bullpen's terrible. Without Joe Nathan, they've got nothing at the back of that bullpen. Caps is doing his best, but he's just not a closer. Bottom line, their starting rotation isn't terrible, but it's not shut down. And without Morneau and Mauer hitting the way that they should be, and with Mauer on the DL, this team just has nothing to work off of. No way to score runs, no way to stop people from scoring runs.
Well, how many of their everyday players, they just got Delmon Young back, but they had 4 of their opening day, who you would say opening day starting 9, or starting 8 position players were on the DL in Nishioka, Morneau, Mauer, Young. And who else is there really? You really going to put your hopes of the season on the back of Jason Kubel?
Yep.
I mean, or Michael Kadire? That's what it really has come down to for them so far. And because I picked them the beginning of the season. I always just say, yep, the Minnesota Twins. I don't care what happens until the All-Star break. This year's a little different. When you start off, when you're 12-24, that one's really tough to come back from.
Yeah, it's 11.5 back and fading. I don't see them. As you look at the AL Central, before we go to break and we talk about some other teams when we get back, the AL Central, I want your prediction of where teams are at the All-Star break in this division and where they are at the end of the season in terms of this division.
You mean position-wise,
yes.
Who's in first?
Yes.
I'll say Cleveland is still in first at the All-Star break. I actually like the order that it's in right now. Detroit will be really close to them, if not tied. I think they'll be back and forth throughout most of the summer. I think the Royals will slip a little bit in, kind of like what you said, the offense of the White Sox is starting to pick up. Finally, guys are hitting above 200 for them. And
yeah, when you sign a guy like Dunn and he hits 199, that's a big issue. And that's not necessarily Ozzie Guillen's fault.
Right. You spend the money on a DH who then goes on the DL and then just can't get things figured out. But so I think they're going to go above the Royals because the Royals pitching is just terrible.
Yep.
If you look at Hochever, who is supposedly their ace, one of their top picks, and he can barely get out of the fifth inning most of his starts.
Yes.
So I think they're going to drop, and it'll be interesting to see when the Twins start to make a turn. But I don't even think the Twins can get back to 500 at this point.
I don't think the Twins make a turn. I got to be completely honest. I don't think the Twins make a turn.
You think they just tank the whole rest of the way?
They're going to play hard.
I don't mean tank as in throw in the towel. I mean just bottom out.
Yeah, I look at this team. I look at the rotation. I look at the bullpen. I don't see how they win games. They can't manufacture runs. And they give up close to 5 or 6 runs a game, it seems like. That is just not a formula for winning. Now, do I think they're a great organization? Yeah, but like we talked about in the first segment, everybody has lulls. Every organization has lulls. And I do not see the Twins recovering from this start. Bottom line. Okay, now I need your predictions for the end of the season now.
Oh, for the end of the season?
I wanted both All-Star break end of the season. I was waiting there. That's why we had the dead air there. I was waiting for you to continue.
I thought just dramatic effect of the Twins being done.
No dramatic effect. Just waiting for your dramatic effect.
Yeah. The Tigers, it makes me nervous to say it. I think the Tigers will win the Central. I think they're such a bipolar team. If you look at the trends, they win 9 of 10. They just lost 6 in a row or 7 in a row. I think they have the offense to maybe hold it through. The bullpen really scares me, but I mean the AL Central is so terrible.
How many wins the AL Central?
84 maybe.
You think 84?
I think
win
it
the
could.
AL Central.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, we said 88 before the show started just to see like how many wins where the Indians would have to finish the season to get to there. But yeah, because the AL Central is terrible.
Oh, I'm aware of that. I am very aware of that. All right, fair enough. By the All-Star break, I think the Tigers and Indians are tied. I think the White Sox are tied with the Royals, so they'll get 5.5 back by the All-Star break. Twins will still be in dead last. By the end of the season, I think it'll be the Tigers up by 1 game over the Indians, maybe 2 games over the Indians, and the White Sox right there. 9 games back is a long way to go, but with Peavy back in that rotation, I think they have a chance to pull themselves back. It's very close between the Indians and White Sox. I think 92 wins it comfortably. 88 wins it outright. Get to that 88-win mark, and you're good to go. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little Justin Verlander. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.
I'm glad I'm old enough to remember when President Kennedy started America's space program. Now I'm sad it's over. The last space shuttle will soon land forever.